Welcome everyone to the Pantheon. I'm your host, Ray,
with my podcast colleagues, Evie.
Hi.
And John.
Yo.
Prime. One shall stand, one shall fall. Why throw away your life so recklessly? That's a question you should ask yourself, Megatron. No! I'll crush you with my bare hands!
For all my listeners, I have a question for you. Who is the strongest, meanest, and most devastating villain that the Autobots have ever faced? If you said Megatron or the Fallen, then you are unaware of the first Transformers movie. I can hear some of you now, but John, Megatron is the leader of the Decepticons, and he was the big bad guy in the first movie. As far as the movie released in 2007, you're correct. But that is not the official first Transformers movie. Let me ask you, have you ever heard of the name Unicron? Unicron, voiced by the late great Orson Welles, was the lead villain in Transformers the movie. He was a Transformer that was the size of a planet. He could demolish anything in his way. Even a battle against the Autobots and the Decepticons could not slow him down. There was only one weakness to Unicron, the Autobot matrix of leadership. It was, quote, the one thing that could stand in his way. The matrix is always left in the care of the current leader. It is said that it can be opened to light their darkest hour. This feature was released in 1986. It was a brilliantly animated movie that introduced fans to a whole new generation of characters. Older fans will remember this movie for many reasons. In this feature, fans experienced joy and heartache. Back then, filmmakers had never even thought of letting a childhood hero die on the screen. But here, we witness the death of Optimus Prime. Many young viewers, myself included, cried at that moment. However, minutes later, we cheered at the death of Megatron. Or at least what we thought was his death. Megatron and some other Decepticons were set adrift in space. They floated along until they encountered Unicron. Unicron recreated these Decepticons into Galvatron and his minions. Eventually, the Matrix ends up in the hands of a rookie Autobot, Hot Rod. By this time, not only do the Autobots face extinction, but so do the Decepticons.
All the Transformers and their homeworld of Cybertron are looking at total destructions. It is at this point that the Matrix glows. Hot Rod grabs it and opens it. He is transformed into Rodimus Prime. Rodimus opens the Matrix all the way and uses it to light the Transformers' darkest hour. By doing so, he creates a chain reaction within Unicron. The Autobots and a few Decepticons are able to escape before Unicron explodes. End of movie. Now, I'm not saying that this movie is better or worse than the 2007 live-action version. I'm just saying it's different. A lot of the characters from the animated movie do appear in the live-action movie. They just look and sound different, with the exception of one. Optimus Prime is voiced in all the movies by the brilliant Peter Cullen. To those of us that have seen both the animated movie and the first live-action movie, we will recognize one of the most memorable lines in Transformers history. One shall stand, one shall fall.
Prime! One shall stand, one shall fall. Why throw away your life so recklessly? That's a question you should ask yourself, Megatron.
Oddly enough, the line was delivered both times when Prime and Megatron engaged in one final battle. In the animated movie, that battle basically begins the movie. In the live-action movie, that line is delivered near the end of the movie. So I recommend to you, go out and watch both the animated and live-action versions of the Transformers movies and compare them for yourselves. Until that day, friends, till the day, till all are one.
In the heart of Hollywood, California, in the United States, on the planet we call Earth, it's the
Transformers!
Get the drink from the fire hose!
Yeah, geek, yeah! All right, settle down. Okay, Evie is going to lead the Transformer Geek with the questions. Evie, take it away.
All right. I have a three-part question. Who was the Autobot that transformed into a city? And now my 1-2 punch. How many shows did he appear in? And out of those, how many episodes did we see him actually transform in? That's from Sal from Point Pelee.
Well, the Autobot you're thinking of, Sal, is simply Metroplex. Now, if we count only the episodes in Generation 1, first three seasons, all the way up till the golden age of Cybertron, we see Metroplex, or parts of Metroplex, in a total of 7 episodes. And out of those 7, only 4 episodes does he transform.
Hey, John, mate. I am certain to a T, in the animated series Soundwave, had a second cassette that was a bird. Laserbeak was one, and on that rare episode, we saw another one. It had golden brown markings from Jamal, Perth, West Australia.
Jamal, for the once and only time in my entire career, you're going to hear these words. You have stumped the geek. I literally had to look this one up, because in all the toy packages I ever had, and I know the cassette you're referring to, it was always labeled as Laserbeak whenever I bought it. However, once I looked up the answers and researched it, I found out that the name you were looking for, Buzzsaw.
Here's Ray with the review of HBO show Dexter.
With Dexter, Season 8, Episode 1, it starts off 6 months after the season finale. And believe it or not, Dexter didn't do too much in the finale. I mean, yes, he found his mother's murderer and took care of him. But believe it or not, his hands are somewhat clean. He didn't do much damage in the actual finale. So when we open up with this season, it's actually on a positive note. Things are going well at work. He's spending more time with his son. In fact, Dexter is actually coaching his son's baseball team, and it appears that life is running on all four cylinders. Now, that's until we are introduced to the two women in Dexter's life who's giving him some strife. The first person is a brand new character, a psychiatrist, who has joined the Miami Police Department to try and solve their latest serial killer. She's been dubbed, according to Masuko, as being the psychopath whisperer because she has the ability to weed out and find the psychopaths, and she has a really strong track record of finding these killers. Now, this has Dexter a little concerned because he has to now try and shield his dark passenger from her. The other person in Dexter's life is his adopted sister, Deb. Now, since last season, Deb has left her position in the police department and has joined a different division in law enforcement. Now, Dexter, who I refer to as a refined serial killer, can't understand why Deb is so angry with him. Dexter's own mentally projected image of his adopted father, Harry, who is sort of like a spiritual guide to Dexter, is telling Dexter to leave Deb alone, let her figure things out, let her come to terms with what has transpired. Dexter refuses to listen and continues to pursue Deborah to try and fix her. Now, being psychopathic, he can't understand that he is the problem of Deborah's derailment mentally and slowly becomes unraveled himself. We see in the final 4 minutes of the episode, we see what's foreshadowing how this series season finale will end. And it truly is going to be a spectacular finale.
Hi, I'm Ev, doing the second episode of Dexter. This one is kind of cool. The psychotic whisperer tries to get into Dexter's head and figure out how he ticks. And Deb, basically, I know, we kind of witness her mental state and how it's not doing so good, and how she's going to, you know, becoming more psychotic, just like her brother. Things happen in it.
In Dexter's episodes 3, 4, and 5, we find Deb's mental state eventually hitting rock bottom. What sends her over the edge is her discovery that her father committed suicide when he realized what Dexter was becoming. Her reaction takes an unprecedented turn. We also learn the psychopath whisperer's arrival to Miami PD wasn't coincidental. She has a very specific connection with the latest serial killer and formed an unlikely alliance with Dexter in order to stop this new threat. By the end of episode 5, all of Dexter's personal loose ends gets all wrapped up. His reconnection with Deb gets resolved, his alliance with the psychopath whisperer reaches its conclusion, and the latest serial killer storyline comes to a close. As now, we hit the halfway mark of the season, we begin the countdown to the final episodes of Dexter. Alright, so that's the end of our show. So from everyone here, I'm Ray.
I'm John.
I'm Evie.
Talk to you later.
Chowder.